Good morning, InfoWars. Your source for uncensored truth this morning is Brianna Morello.
Good morning, InfoWars. It is I, Brianna Morello, joining you again for a beautiful Saturday morning edition of this show. Thanks for jumping on with me. Thank you for being here. There's a lot going on in the world today that we wanted to make sure you were caught up on. And we're going to kick off today's show discussing something very controversial. A federal judge in Tennessee has ordered the release of Kilmer Abrego Garcia from jail. Now, that's the illegal alien who was brought back to Salvador, then brought back into our country. Well, apparently this judge is now looking to release him, and he might be released to his family, who is currently residing in Maryland. That's according to his attorney. Garcia is currently facing federal human smuggling charges and is awaiting his criminal trial. Now, I reached out to the DOJ's Pam Bondi for comment on all of this, and I did not hear back, but I did hear back from DHS Secretary Kristi Noem. Kristi Noem not holding back when she said this in part. We reached a new low with this publicity-hungry Maryland judge mandating this illegal alien who is an MS-13 gang member, human trafficker, and serial domestic abuser and child predator be allowed free. We will not stop fighting this Salvadorian man facing justice and is out of our country, folks. So obviously the DHS not looking forward to having to go now and grab this guy. Obviously ICE will be doing just that. And according to reports from Fox News, ICE is saying that they are going to go and arrest him and possibly deport him to Uganda. Now that's because Uganda has reached a deal with the United States to accept third party deportation. So that should be interesting, and we will continue to follow the story as it develops. But let's head on over to Minnesota, because folks, there's a lot going on in Minnesota, and unfortunately, they're dealing with an Islam takeover, specifically in Minneapolis. And as many of you guys probably heard, the party there, the Democratic Farm Labor Party in Minnesota, just recently endorsed a socialist named Omar Fatih. He is looking to run for Minneapolis mayor. And well, they just recently pulled back their endorsement of him. That's because there's a lot of, get this, irregularities in the voting process. They're citing problems with voting machine malfunctions, as well as delegates being removed without warning or explanation. Now, interesting enough, the move comes as Mayor Jacob Frey asked the party to nullify the endorsement, citing problems with the city's convention. Now, he reacted to the news by saying this.
This is not a scenario where you need to take my word for it. As the state party said, and as the investigation showed, this was a process that was rife with errors and misconduct. Hundreds of people didn't get counted out of hundreds of votes in total. There was an entire ward where nobody knew who the ward delegates were. The whole thing went missing. I don't know. We still don't know exactly how they became to the determination based on that ward. The data itself was given to the other campaigns, and they were allowed to edit it.
An absolute disgrace, and it's very likely that elections might possibly get stolen again, as we've always discussed, by the same individuals who are running all of this. So we'll continue to follow it as it develops, of course. But again, it looks like there's tons of election fraud possibly still taking place, and President Trump looking to crunch down on that as we head into federal elections. Now let's turn to the Fed, because that's where Jerome Powell is hinting at possibly a rate cut in September. Now he said during a speech for Jackson Hole, said this, the baseline outlook and shifting balances of risk may warrant adjusting our policy stance. Now that's because, folks, President Trump is continuously applying pressure to the Fed to lower rates. Jerome Powell not doing that at all. And now President Trump threatening to fire Lisa Cook, Fed governor, Lisa Cook that is, over allegations of mortgage fraud. We'll continue to follow that as President Trump looks to crunch down on the Fed. Folks, we've got a jam-packed program for you coming up in just a few moments. We're going to be talking organ harvesting, John Bolton, and so much more. So stay tuned. We got a lot to unpack today.
You just saw an ad for methylene blue. Tell people the short-term effect and then now the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, like I do some methylene blue about a half hour before. Gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I take about a half hour before my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Something like that. You give me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. For the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support, theallstarsport.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it. I go, I don't know.
I like it better than doing like a five-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
See that? No crash.
Right.
If you'll just try it, you'll be hooked. And we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. Now's the time. Get the methylene blue, bare minimum, thealexostore.com.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, Brianna Morello tells you the truth about what's happening next on Good Morning InfoWars.
All right, we got a lot to dive into. It's been a very, very busy week. As many of you guys know, we've been calling on this for months now, asking what's going on with the FBA. Show us a pulse. Show us a sign that you're actually doing what you were elected to do with this new administration. Well, it looks like we're finally getting a little bit of a pulse here. You may have heard John Bolton had his home raided yesterday in Maryland, and it was quite the beautiful sight to see. President Trump's former national security advisor had that Maryland home raided, as we said. And Fox News is saying that everyone's getting it wrong because they're focused on the classified documents that were in Bolton's book. They're saying it's not just about that, that this raid potentially has a lot to do with their allegations, making a lot of money from overseas and may have trafficked intelligence information. Now, it's not just Fox News saying that. My good friend, attorney Mike Davis, is also alluding to the fact that this warrant isn't just covering classified documents. And he's warning Democrats and rhinos that they might look really silly once that document is made public. But after the raid on Bolton's home, we're starting to wonder, why was John Bolton so against Tulsi Gabbard getting selected to run DNI? And why was he so aggressively attacking FBI Director Cash Patel? Now, starting to learn why, because he knew accountability would eventually come his way, and he's the first one so far on the accountability tour. And folks, I just want you to listen. Listen to how angry he was when he spoke about Gabbard and Patel just a few weeks ago.
Any given moment. But I don't think he cared about the classification system. I don't think he appreciated the sensitivity of this information, and he didn't appreciate the sensitivity of how it was often acquired, the so-called sources and methods. So this had been briefed to him before I arrived. It was repeated frequently. I think it simply had no impact on him whatever.
There's a couple of different ways that people think about this, and people who are not friendly to the president, who think about what's happened here. And one of them is, you know, Donald Trump, master thief, you know, criminal, running some kind of elaborate conspiracy to bring things out of the White House and keep them secret, for potentially for political or financial gain. There are other people who add it to attitude is Trump is chaotic, he's careless, he's not that smart. He took these things almost by mistake, and now he's basically stamping his feet and saying, they're mine, I don't want to give them up. Give me a sense of where you think the truth lies with respect to Trump's intelligence, carelessness, and the degree to which he might have brought motive to bear on taking these documents out of the White House and keeping them for this long at Mar-a-Lago.
Well, I don't, it's very hard to speculate on motive other than that he liked cool things. He saw things that so he wanted to take them, and he was pretty much able to take them, and not just on classified information matters, on all kinds of things that crossed his desk. Some days he liked to eat a lot of French fries. Some days he took classified documents. He wanted them. Why did he want them? Because he could get them.
I'm so glad we got John Bolton on the record on how serious classified documents being brought home are. I look forward to them playing that at his criminal trial, of course. And I love how he's laying out the groundwork and all of that for his bed of lies, claiming that President Trump was also going to weaponize the DOJ. Because, folks, We all know that the machine, the deep state machine, was the ones looking to weaponize the DOJ, not President Trump. He's looking to hold them all accountable. And we hope that that is actually the case. That's what you and I voted for. We wanted to make sure that the swamp was torn down into pieces. All right, let's turn to something else that dropped yesterday. As many of you guys probably saw, Ghislaine Maxwell's DOJ transcripts and audio recordings were released. As many of you guys have heard, we've reported on this show. Maxwell did meet with the deputy AG of the DOJ, and Todd Blanch is his name, by the way. And they did meet, and they had discussions about what Maxwell knew, and they asked several different questions. So let's go to the first clip, because I was able to listen to some of the audio. It's not ideal, so we only got you one clip from it. But interesting enough, Blanche asked Maxwell about her father's foreign ties to other intelligence agencies. And this was her response. All right. So her response was only talking about her father's interactions with the British intelligence agencies. Doesn't mention anything about Israel. Okay. Now that's the first one. We've actually got that up on my Twitter page if you'd like to take a listen to that. Now let's go to the first screen grab that we have of this, because I've been sifting through the transcripts so you guys don't have to. And it's very, very lengthy. Now in a lot of this, she's actually, I guess I would just say, she's defending President Trump because the corporate media has been lying about President Trump's involvement with Epstein. And so this clears a lot of those rumors up if you believe what she's actually saying is being truthful. She says that she's never witnessed President Trump being inappropriate, and that she hasn't heard of any of that between the masseuses or anyone else that was interacting with both her, Epstein, or President Trump. Now, she also goes on to debunk that Wall Street Journal report. Now, specifically in the transcript, she's being asked about Jeffrey Epstein's 50th birthday and how there were all these letters that were gifted to him for his 50th birthday. Now, she did get some discovery in one of her legal manners, and she's asked about that discovery. She's asked specifically if she remembers seeing a letter written by President Trump with an illustration included, and she herself says no. She doesn't recall ever seeing that letter, and she's someone who claims that she read through all of this. Now, it's not just that. And this one, don't beat me up, I'm just a messenger. But she's also asked about any type of Epstein client list or any list at all. And Maxwell claims that there is no list. Interesting, interesting. Now, some more random things that came up during their discussion. Maxwell denies the charges that she solicited women, girls, for Epstein rather than Epstein being paid for business reasons. She also goes on to say that she did not see underage girls involved in any non-consensual and inappropriate behavior. So again, her credibility, not too strong these days. Maxwell says there has never also been any blackmail that was used against these people. She also described it as total BS. She also detailed that there was no surveillance footage found around the property, any cameras that would be inappropriate. She repeatedly says that. She says that her definition of appropriate surveillance footage, or I'm sorry, cameras, would be cameras outside of the property, not those inside the property in personal spaces. So she's denying that there's even blackmail, folks. Not looking good. She also says that Larry Summer was a personal friend of Epstein. She goes on to say Maxwell thinks she met Alex Soros at an event, but doesn't remember the exact context. So there's a lot. There is a lot that came up in all of this. Nothing groundbreaking. Nothing we haven't personally told you about. Now, I'll be joined by Ken Silva in just a few moments. We're going to do a deep dive into all of this because he's also been looking at a couple of different angles from the Maxwell transcripts. Some of it was really funny. Like, she even voluntarily mentioned the cartels. And then she quickly realized, because she's in prison, you probably shouldn't even talk about the cartels. So she quickly corrected herself and shut it down. Blanche not really digging much into her father potentially working for foreign entities, foreign agencies. Came up again in the discussion. That's what Silva's going to talk about, because he has done all the research behind that. He's done incredible reporting for Headline USA, so he's going to join us in a few moments on that front. But again, it's kind of a disappointment because we haven't heard much on that front. All right, folks. Now, I went on X and I asked you all about your opinions about our government now owning 10% stake in Intel. And it was very interesting because I wanted to know what you guys thought about this. The administration announcing this yesterday that they had purchased 10% and now they own a 10% stake in the company. And a lot of you aren't very happy about this and you are sounding off right now on my X page. Leave a comment, folks. I just wanted to kind of go over it and see how everyone else is feeling about it. Most of you feel very uncomfortable about this. In fact, even saying that you believe that this is a step towards communism. And I understand why you're very, very concerned. I saw Congressman Thomas Massey also talking about this earlier today. He doesn't even think that this is constitutional. He believes it's against the law and he looks to possibly challenge just that. So we'll see as that develops as well. Now, like I told you, lots going on. TSA, we're going to talk about them in just a few moments because there's a new report out that says TSA isn't making you any safer. And we've got all the information to back it up. Sonia Labosco joins us next. Don't go anywhere.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene Bluetooth. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, known me for a long time, said sure he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it, RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. In the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in.
Because you came in saying, I want more methylene blue. And then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah. I mean, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle. You gave me, it's great. It totally makes it, you can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshore.com, but we'll certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what it does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
I see RFKs on it, yeah. I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed, it's not caffeine, it's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I said, get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultimethylene Blue, thealexjonesshore.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, I've given it to like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it from SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexJonesShore.com. So,
yeah, it's not psychosomatic. It's not psychological. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first and then working out so hard that, you know, I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'll be like a restaurant. I'm going to serve dog to people. They're not going to come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
often talk about my, I guess I just don't like TSA. So I'm often voicing that, and I'm always digging up the dirt on TSA because I actually just think it's ineffective. And I think it's one of the many agencies that need to be broken up and dismantled. And there's just endless, endless evidence of that. Now, when you head on over to the independentnewsroom.com, it's a newsletter website that I have. It's free. We give you the stories that you need to know about, and it goes straight to your inbox. And this was one of the stories that I dropped yesterday after going over the OIG report that just recently was released by DHS on TSA. There were several, I mean several, alarming elements to all of this. And it seems like it's a never-ending security failure when it comes to TSA. And we're going to outline some of that for you today. First things first, what was one of the clearest things about this OIG report is how, well, TSA really isn't good at delegating its roles to its agents. I mean, it's really just a train wreck of an agency. And it creates internal conflicts and tensions between both TSA and federal air marshals. And all of that is clearly outlined in this report. Now, they also say in this report, and this is a major issue, that TSA's investigations over misconduct allegations rarely really results in any type of accountability. Now, obviously, that is concerning because we've seen cases of misconduct, and there's a lot of them. I mean, we're talking about over 177 cases that were allegedly opened on all of this. So, again, we are extremely concerned. Joining me is a woman who is very concerned as well. Please welcome to the show, Sonia Lobosco. She's the executive director of Air Marshal National Council, and she joins us now. Sonia, you have read through this OIG report. You've done all the digging on all of this. Let's focus on the first thing. We saw that TSA is being criticized for not holding its agents accountable when they're supposed to. What's that all about?
Well, Brianna, this is a really concerning report. Now, this is the Inspector General, Joseph Ghaffari, who's come out, and this was just recently. This has to do with the TSA Insider Threat Program. So an insider threat, just to describe what that is, it is a person that has secure access to a sensitive area of our infrastructure, whether it be at the airport, at the train station, at the port. It's someone who wears a credentialed badge. They've been vetted. So they have access to these areas within the body of the airport or at the train station that they don't have access, you know, that normal people would not. And what happens with insider threat, someone calls an insider threat report in, maybe another employee reports that, hey, I saw an employee bringing bags through, you know, in the baggage area of the aircraft that they shouldn't have there. And these are the type of threats that are, we should be taking these extremely serious because nobody's breaking their access to go inside a secure area for any reason other than criminal activity, terrorism, or any other type of illicit illegal behavior.
Yeah, and there's been cases of TSA agents being charged. I remember there was one you sent it over to me of TSA agents who have been criminally charged on this. And we're talking about 177 investigations. That it looks like it took place. Let me pull it up because, again, that's all available right now. 177 cases, records have been pulled up. And so this is all, again, on the independentnewsroom.com. We put this out there for you guys to go take a look at this yourself. But 21 of those allegations did not get referred for criminal misconduct. What's that specifically all about?
I mean, Brianna, this is 21 cases of insider threat. These were valid insider threats where someone said, now this could be more than one person. We have organized crime groups that work within the airport, right? If you think about it, if there's a group in Newark working with a group in New York, these are people that have access to these secure areas. So that we do have these organized elements of crime that work within the airport. That means there's 21 insider threats, not just misconduct or allegations, 21 insider threats that have not been cleared as we speak today.
Yeah, I mean, that's extremely concerning given the threats that we have. Not only, I mean, we have a ton domestically, but overseas. I mean, that is something that is really, really concerning, Sonia. And again, I mean, it sounds like the new administration has a lot of mess to clean up in that regard. So we'll see how they handle that. I'll get your take also on how we could resolve these issues. But I also wanted to ask you in regards to the other element in all of this. We saw that the report specifically is also calling out the communication issues between TSA and the federal air marshals, specifically how, I guess, tasks aren't designated appropriately and how there's a lot of conflicts that have come up from all of this, and tensions between both of these agencies has kind of brewed from all of this. What are some of the gray areas, I guess I should say, in regards to TSA not properly telling its agents what their roles are?
Well, Brianna, it goes back. Okay, so there's an inner conflict right now. And DHS, even the OIG Inspector General said that this turf war basically in TSA is impeding national security investigations. You've got the Federal Air Marshal Director Brian Belcher. We've heard his name many times. Remember, he's the guy that thought it was okay to put Tulsi on the Quiet Skies watch list. He's the guy that thinks it's okay that he's unarmed our air marshals. He's the guy that thinks it's okay that we're running out of ammunition. This is the same individual that's in charge of the insider threat program for TSA. So you've got the air marshals on one side, and then you've got the TSA Office of Inspections on the other side. So you have this turf battle going in between these two TSA components who will not cooperate. And because they won't cooperate, these threats are going unlooked at. They're wide open right now. We've got 21 insider threats. Gosh knows if that's one person or 10 people in a group working together somewhere in a secured area doing wrong.
Yeah, and that's something that needs to be addressed. That's definitely a significant issue. I saw that this kind of concludes, the report concludes, by TSA agreeing on all six recommendations to take those up. Briefly, if you could just describe what these recommendations are, and are they enough to fix these issues?
Well, those recommendations are not enough to fix these issues, because let's face it, at the end of the day, Brianna, when a piece of paper impedes national security investigations, somebody needs to be fired. I mean, at the end of the day, there's no way that this piece of paper should stop a national security investigation from occurring. The other thing I wanted to point out too, in regards to this report from the DHS-OIG, but also from the Government Accountability Office, they did their own separate report. There is no standardized operating procedures with either of these groups with TSA. There's no formalized training. There's no accountability. And there's no protocols. So $11.5 billion, where is the money going internally to try to keep individuals safe if our insider threat program can't even function properly?
Yeah, I mean, that's a legit question that should be asked. Sonia, we've got about 30 seconds. I kind of wanted to get your take on this, the new administration stepping in and trying to correct a lot of the issues, shutting down the Quiet Skies list and so many other things that they've done behind the scenes. What can they do now to make these changes to fix these issues?
Well, they have to clean out all the Biden holdovers. You know, we've got all the upper executives, the senior executive service. Brianna, they're still in place. None of those individuals have been removed. So as long as those individuals are in place, they're going to resist the new administration. They're going to continue doing their thwarting any type of success that President Trump is going to have. And they're doing it. Look at what's happening right now in this insider threat program.
Yeah. Sonia Lobosco, you are an incredible woman, my friends. And thank you so much for flagging this for me, because this is really a national security issue that needs everyone's attention. So thank you, Sonia, for all that you do. We appreciate it as always.
God bless. Keep fighting, Brianna. We need you.
Thank you, Sonia. Yeah, we need you too, girlfriend. So thank you so much. I appreciate it. All right, folks, there's a lot more to unpack. Ken Silva joining us next.
While the concept of tinfoil hats as a defense against mind control may sound far-fetched, there's a nugget of truth in their effectiveness for blocking certain electromagnetic signals. Tinfoil hats, when properly constructed, can act as a rudimentary electromagnetic shield. They work on the principle that metal can reflect or absorb electromagnetic radiation, including radio waves and microwaves. Some conspiracy theories suggest that these types of signals are used for mind control or surveillance. Mind control is profoundly concerning because it infringes upon an individual's autonomy and freedom of thought. It involves manipulative tactics or technologies that can coerce or influence a person's beliefs, decisions, and actions against their will. This intrusion into one's cognitive and emotional processes undermines their ability to make independent choices and shapes their behavior in ways that may run counter to their values and interests.
And, of course, you know where tinfoil hats come from. In the 50s and 60s, the Russians would blast our embassies with different types of radiation and microwaves. They started lining them, actually, with tin at first. It was actually tin, not aluminum. Old days, tinfoil was tin, the metal tin, not foil. And then they would also line it with lead. So these wives' tale things, or these things we make jokes out of, we're not actually selling this to you to protect you from 5G. It really won't do that. I would imagine the studies, some of it bounces off, but not much because it shoots through everything. It's why it's so dangerous. And we've shown you the footage of plants won't even grow in 5G, plus just the regular Wi-Fi in your house. They've done university studies. But it's a lot of fun. So get your Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit. You can make hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hats with this bad boy. And it is a lot of fun. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Absolute style. Look how easy it was to make that. And now CNN cannot mind control me. And, you know, you can make it cooler. You can add all sorts of stuff to it. Here, I can make a Viking helmet. That looks pretty cool. Kill the wabbit, kill the wabbit, kill the wabbit. There you go. Look how fast that was. Now you're ready for the Halloween party coming up. Kill the wabbit, kill the wabbit. Well, now we're ready. And it is a lot of fun, and it supports the broadcast. And in 1995, it's a good deal. Hell, this much tinfoil costs you like $15 at the store. So this is an amazing deal, thealexjonesstore.com. So get your Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Well, I'm a tinfoil hat wearing meat-eating son of a gun, loving sun, loving hot-blooded Texans who step in, outlaw free, one looking for a little fun.
The official Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit, 100% lifetime guarantee, high quality aluminum. Got the famous shot of me there with the aluminum hat. 50 square feet, 100% lifetime guarantee. Protect your mind from the globalist. I love the idea they had of an Alex Jones stress ball. People really love it. That's available. You know, fun little things, not just the widest selection of Patriot t-shirts and ball caps and hoodies and sweaters, but cool stuff like this. But now we have the official Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit. So get your Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Good morning, InfoWars. Your source for uncensored truth this morning is Brianna Morello.
Risen gates won't open up for me.
Rise and shine, Patriots. It's another beautiful morning with a lot going on in the world. By the way, I actually have my tin foil kit. I just got it the other day when I was down at the studios. I'm very excited to show you what my tinfoil hat looks like very, very soon. So make sure you guys grab one as well. But a lot going on in the world today, and I was, you know, scrolling through my X feed, and I completely forgot about a story that involved John Bolton and a Pakistani man allegedly looking to possibly kill President Donald Trump. And I wanted to bring this back to the surface. I think it's actually the perfect time to discuss just that. I'm talking about the 2024 plot where they said that, or the government alleged, that a Pakistani man made his way into the United States with an elaborate plot to assassinate President Donald Trump. Now, that man was arrested on July 12th, 2024, the day before the assassination attempt on President Trump's life in Butler. Of course, you probably remember that. Now, that Pakistani was allowed into our country, strangely enough. And if you're wondering why I'm saying he was allowed into our country, well, he was apparently talking to an FBI undercover agent online. Again, this is all the government's telling us, so keep in mind. This is the Biden DOJ talking about this. This individual, Asif Merchant, I think I got that right, the Pakistani man, was released into our country, was detained the day before President Trump was almost assassinated in Butler. But interesting enough, not many people are talking about it. The FBI actually, well, I mean, they knew he was came into our country back in April, according to reports. The FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force interviewed him when he arrived at George Bush Intercontinental Airport. And then for some reason, he was allowed to be released into our country. Again, this man was apparently an individual looking to hire someone to kill President Trump. So let's talk about the John Bolton angle, and the perfect person to do just that is Ken Silva, the headline USA editor. He is the one who's brought this back to the surface, brought this back to my attention, and he has been doing all the digging into this. Ken, I want to thank you for jumping on with us today, because I totally forgot about this story, and you've resurfaced it. You brought it back to the top for all of us to focus on. And obviously, after Bolton had his Maryland home raided, that this is pretty relevant. So let's talk about Bolton's angle in all of this, because the story was kind of confusing, because obviously this was the Biden DOJ going after this man and making all these allegations. But the FBI ultimately was the agency that released him after interviewing him into our country. And then it was their own undercover agent who was the one talking about potentially assassinating President Trump, it looks like. So break all this down for us.
Yeah, that's right. And it's kind of ironic that John Bolton's now under pressure by the FBI when he once worked hand in glove with agents to fabricate this so-called Iranian plot. So the quick and dirty is, you know, we go back to January 2020, the Trump administration assassinates Iranian General Soleimani. Ever since then, there have been all these reports that Iran wants revenge. They want to kill Mike Pompeo, John Bolton, and Donald Trump. And, you know, listen, I'm sure there are millions of Iranians that would like to see these guys dead. Whether the Iranian government has the capacity to assassinate a U.S. official on American soil is a totally another matter. So far, we've seen no solid evidence of this. And moreover, you gotta, you know, look at it from the standpoint of the Iranian regime, a cost-benefit analysis. You know, they're not dumb. They know that if they kill a U.S. official, that spells the end for them. Trump would, you know, totally wipe out the entire country. In fact, that's what Trump said. He said, if Iran kills me, I've left instructions for J.D. Vance to destroy the entire country. You know, despite that, in 2021, the Secret Service started affording John Bolton protection, costing the taxpayers $20,000 a month in response to this purported Iranian threat. It's a year later, the DOJ announces that they uncovered an Iranian plot against Bolton, and they indicted some guy in Iran who, of course, will never be arrested, never appear in court, will never see the evidence because he's in Iran. But if you look at the indictment, it just doesn't pass the smell test. The case amounts to some guy in Iran talking on the internet with somebody who he thought was a hitman in the U.S. Turns out the hitman was an FBI informant. At one point in 2022, the FBI has the informant go to Bolton's house, take a picture, send it back to Iran, building the case. They keep talking. The Iranian eventually gets impatient, like, oh, when are you going to actually do this? And then the DOJ wraps up the case, makes this big announcement. I think it was on 60 Minutes and everything. They interview Bolton, much to do about nothing. To top it off, it turns out that the agent in charge of this entire case in the Washington field office was Stephen D'Antuono, who people might be familiar with that name because he headed the Detroit field office in 2020 for the whole Whitmer Fednapping case. And then he was transferred to D.C. a month later, and he was the deputy there when January 6th goes down. D'Antuono headed the investigation into the Capitol Hill pipe bomber. They never catch the suspect. D'Antuono lies about getting corrupted evidence from the cell phone companies. So just everything about this Bolton case smells just totally phony, totally fabricated by the FBI. And yeah, as you mentioned, this has kind of evolved since then. There have been several similar cases involving a purported plot to assassinate Trump. And, you know, we can get deeper into those if you'd like to, but this is long-winded, so I'll pause and see if you have any questions.
Yeah, no, I mean, you did a great job explaining all of that. And the part that's so infuriating is we constantly are seeing the FBI, and especially into the Biden regime, set up people online and then go after them and pretend like there's a extensive threat to officials. And it's really just the FBI pushing someone, poking them with a stick online to get them to do something so that they could cook up their numbers. I know, you know, FBI whistleblower Steve Wren is someone who's spoken out publicly about all of this and how they do it. So I think it's very interesting. But, you know, you have the angle on specifically, we've got about 30 seconds before we go to our next topic. Tell us a little bit about the Trump angle and all that, because you said that there was other assassination attempts, correct?
Yeah, sure. So real quick, they arrested a Pakistani guy on July 12, 2024, the day before the Butler shooting, for attempting to assassinate Trump. The dirty little secret in that is that he was let in the country in April on what's called a significant benefit parole program, which a reporter, John Solomon, did great work on this. This is like when you let somebody in the country specifically because they're either an informant or because, you know, it's part of an elaborate sting operation. So he tries hiring two undercover agents, gets busted. He's been in solitary ever since. It looks like another Whitmer case, except worse because a lot of the evidence is classified because there's FISA and international angles. You know, the case is still ongoing. We're going to see how this plays out. But again, it smells like kind of Whitmer case on steroids.
Yeah, all of this is just really infuriating because we see this time and time again, so that's not surprising at all. I wanted to get your take, too, on the Maxwell audio recordings that we heard yesterday because, well, it was quite interesting. We went into detail about a couple of the other angles, but you specifically were reporting yesterday on Jeffrey Epstein helping start the Clinton Foundation. What was that all about?
Yeah, that's according to Maxwell with, you know, take her word with a grain of salt. I did catch her in several lies, but she claims that, you know, I think this is in the early 2000s. She's telling Bill Clinton, like, you need your own Davos. She's referencing the World Economic Forum, the meeting where all the elites gather once a year. She said, Bill, you need to do this yourself. And she also says that Jeffrey Epstein donated money to help get that operation running. You know, we all know the Clinton Foundation ended up being a conduit for the Clintons receiving donations in exchange for political favors. Adding intrigue to this is the recent FBI document showing that the FBI had the goods on the Clinton Foundation in 2015, all the corruption evidence, but the DOJ stifled that investigation and chose to pursue Russiagate instead, which is, you know, a whole nother thread we could tug on. But that's the short and dirty of it.
Yeah, not really surprising. Not really surprising at all. Ken Silva, you're doing incredible work over at Headline USA. Thank you for helping us understand all of that. I know it's a lot, and you seem to do a great job at making it very simple for our audience and myself to even understand. So thank you for all the incredible work you continue to do. Folks, a lot going on in the state of Florida. I don't know if you're aware, but the LGBT plus whatever community, they're not very happy with Governor Ron DeSantis because their murals are getting painted over. Brendan Leslie joins us next.
The last 5 years, I've had all these scientists on promoting spike protein detoxes that have saved so many people and done all this. And finally, we're like, hey, we better do our own. Let's make the best. We take the two best-selling ones, combine the two with stuff that the government tried to ban so people would die. And yeah, we're selling stuff that really works. Tell us about Ultimate Life Force. It's a horse pill. I take it a few times a year as a detox. So good for cardiovascular. Just one of the ingredients in this alone is on record a game changer they tried to ban.
Right.
This is so important.
N-acetylcysteine, better known as NAC, was widely available pre-pandemic, but during the pandemic, during COVID, they took it off Amazon because it was too powerful. Too many people were getting well from it. They say, okay, this isn't a supplement. This is a drug. Now, we're not making that claim this is a supplement, but it is a supplement that is so powerful it could be used and compared to something like that.
And what is NAC?
N-acetylcysteine is the main precursor to your body's master antioxidant, glutathione, right? Glutathione is what your body uses to detoxify everything. But most importantly, your lungs. NAC reduces lung mucus and is incredibly powerful. This is rocket fuel. This is the gasoline. This is the fuel you need to make the glutathione. But more importantly, even than that almost, I was taking a look at Ultimate Life Force, and I forget about these things. These things are something that they wanted to ban even more. The natokinase and the serapeptase, those are compounds that go in and break down blood clots and scar tissue and inorganic things in the body. That's for the spike protein. The cool thing is everybody, every human can get healthy. It just takes different specific steps to get healthy. And that's why they're becoming knowledgeable about...
Well, that's like breeds of cows. They're like, these cows can handle the heat. These cows can't. These cows can handle cold. They can't. These dogs can handle this. These can't. We're all dogs. We're all cows. We're all the same species, but there's certain things each group can't handle.
100% I agree with that. And it's so key. I mean, the reason why Methylene Blue has just been such an incredible hit to the audience and to the supporters, listeners, to us, everyone, is because, well, like, we really feel the effect, you know?
It's like the Garden of Eden. God made all these things to work together.
It's all there. The information's readily
available. No, it's absolutely incredible. These are great products. They fund the operation. And, folks, it's common sense. Go get them. TheAlexShowShore.com. Get the bovine colostrum, get the methyl drive, get the power plant, get the methylene blue, get it all.
What's cool about supplements, at least to me, is you're able to look at these different genetic groups, and then you can go, okay, they need help with this one thing, we got a compound for that.
All we did was go out with the top selling products for all the studies and just combine them together.
100%. And I mean, you look at this product, the NAC alone makes it worth buying, but you've got four or five other things in there directly targeted to addressing COVID and long COVID.
People say, well, I don't have COVID right now. The point is, it's good for you, period.
100%. We've all got scar tissue in us. We've all got issues. We've all got these inorganic compounds, these microplastics. When you look at something like Ultimate Life Force, it might be able to address some of those situations. You look at this, you look at the other products we're offering you, it's kind of hard to do an individual pitch for them because they're all so amazing. It's incredible. We make this stuff for you and for ourselves. Everyone at the InfoWars office is gobbling these supplements left and right. That's why I made these, is so I could take them.
And then you designed it to go with our Ultra Methylene Blue.
Absolutely. That's the key. Before any, like, man or woman, young and old, if you're on Methylene Blue, you got to take it.
Everybody loves the formulas, and I've noticed if I take both together, the energy is totally insane. Each one is very strong on its own.
Methyl Drive is something that every person in the country should take. This is something so powerful they tried to ban it.
So the Methylene Blue is like the engine and gasoline. These products together is the nitrous oxide.
Exactly. It turbocharges.
Welcome back to the program. A lot happening when it comes to corrupt federal judges. We see it time and time again. They're not happy with the Trump administration, and they want to insert their own political agenda into just that, and they're trying to stop them from doing incredible things. I'm talking about flushing out all the illegal aliens in this country. There's millions of them, and obviously we need all hands on deck. In the great state of Florida, they came up with the incredible idea of Alligator Alcarez. Well, now an Obama-appointed judge, Judge Kathleen Williams, has just mandated the closure, and she's also calling for it to be demolished within the next 60 days. She's, of course, citing environmental issues. It's an absolute joke, of course, but she's also claiming that they also need to stop doing intakes and stop taking in illegal aliens as well. How does a federal judge even have this level of authority? Joining me now to break down everything going on in the great state of Florida is Brendan Leslie. He's the founder of Florida Voice News, and he's with us now. Brendan, thank you for jumping on this early in the morning, because there's a lot going on in the beautiful state of Florida. Specifically, this judge, Obama-appointed judge, shutting down Alcarez. As many of us know, this was like a great thing. Alcarez was like one of the top things that the Trump administration was pushing out there. And it's really unfortunate, right, that we have these judges who are overstepping and trying to shut down their agenda. Obviously, the Trump administration is going to appeal this. But break down the latest in regards to her ruling.
Yeah, essentially what they're doing is just looking for any ridiculous reason that they can put on paper that sounds okay to shut this down, such as environmental issues. Now, listen, I'm a big conservationist. I've done a lot of work helping protect the waterways going into the Everglades. But you have to keep in mind that this alligator Alcatraz has been built on a piece of land that's already been there as an airport. It's like a landing strip for an airport. So it's not like they're knocking down trees in the Everglades or injecting our waters with chemicals. Sure, you got more humans moving in and out, I guess. But at the end of the day, this is simply just them looking for any ridiculous reason to cover their own butts in blocking this, because obviously we can't let President Donald Trump, Governor Ron DeSantis be successful in deporting illegal aliens.
Yeah, and they're looking to also expand these efforts and build more of these take-in sites all around the state of Florida. And so I'd imagine that's probably another reason why she's trying to slow down their momentum. Has the Trump administration or Governor Ron DeSantis commented on this thus far?
Yeah, from all signs, the Governor Ron DeSantis is going to appeal this, is going to take it to the higher court. This is why we have such a great system here in America where if you get one ridiculous judge, you can take it to the higher court to get an actual real ruling. So I don't expect Florida to stop Alligator Alcatraz anytime soon. I'd be shocked if they did. Maybe pause, maybe. But I think they're going to keep going. They're going to take this fight all the way to the end because Florida leads the way when it comes to deporting illegal aliens. I mean, I just saw something this morning about another 200 illegal aliens arrested throughout the panhandle. They're doing really good work. And you mentioned earlier that we're going to be opening up more places like Alligator Alcatraz in Florida. We did so up in Northeast Florida, I believe it was, and it's Deportation Depot. So they go from Home Depot to Deportation Depot, and then on the first plane back to wherever they came from.
It's so crazy because we're not talking about they're just going after just moms and children. They're looking to deport them. They're literally going after the worst of the worst. And I believe the last statistic I saw was like 70% of these individuals they're deporting have criminal backgrounds or they're currently being charged with a crime in this country. And so obviously these are people that we don't want in this country because they are either violent or they're just criminals. I mean, anyone who comes into our country illegally is a criminal. And for some reason, Democrats just can't get that through their heads. So we'll continue to follow that as it unravels. But there's also another topic that's gaining national coverage because Texas kind of led the way on all of this by redrawing their congressional maps. And now Florida is looking to get their hands in this as well. They're looking to redraw those maps. And Democrats aren't very happy with this. Of course, they're using the normal, oh, this is attack on our democracy narrative. But what is Florida currently looking at when it comes to redrawing those maps before the midterms?
Yeah, I believe you got one, maybe two more extra seats you can get out of Florida because I would argue that it was gerrymandered against the Republicans. And as great as our maps were, that we could still do better. And the seat that I'm specifically talking about is in the Tampa Bay area. Look, I don't think there's anyone out there that trusts the 2020 census. I don't trust what citizens they counted. I think there's probably a bunch of illegals on there or voters that just don't exist anymore or never existed. So to me, I think it's worth the look. I really do feel that Florida can give us a more Republican favored district in the Tampa Bay because Tampa Bay, it's booming with Republicans. The registration efforts are neck and neck. Like we have really surged in that area. We flipped a major seat in the Florida Senate a couple years back that gave the Florida Senate the supermajority. So there's a lot of work to be done there. And the Democrats, once again, are just going to look for any reason to lie and pull on the heartstrings and say that we're racially gerrymandering. And it's like, no, you know, we're trying to actually follow the laws here and give proper districts. So I'm really Texas, bravo, bravo, Texas. For the first time, they were leading on something that Florida wasn't. But now Florida is going to be following suit. So I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that as well because it's rare when Texas leads the way on something, and this was a good one to get going. Let's talk about something else. Let's talk about the LGBTQ pride crosswalks that are all over the state. I know in Delray Beach, I covered the crosswalk there and how they were looking to even send a kid who did a burnout on the crosswalk to prison for a year. It's absurd. That was Palm Beach County.
Yeah.
But, you know, now we have the government stepping in, local government stepping in, the state specifically saying that there's new requirements regarding that. You can't use state funds to do things like this. And now we see that the Florida Department of Transportation is painting over a lot of these murals, and it's got folks in Orlando a little upset. What are you hearing?
You know, it's Florida's message is pretty clear. Our roadways are for transportation and not political ideology and messaging. We all pay for these roads, whether we live in Orlando or not. These are all our taxpayer dollars. So the DeSantis administration in the middle of the night, they painted over that crosswalk in Orlando. And you expected it from the left. They're freaking out. And you mentioned that guy that got put in jail for a year for doing a burnout. Are you kidding me? Think about this. They were put in jail for doing a burnout in a road. Like at the very worst, that should be a ticket, right? A traffic infraction. The left care more about silencing people that are against this radical trans agenda than they do in putting rapists behind bars and deporting them out of our nation when they're not supposed to be here. That's just goes to show you how crazy they are and why you're seeing such a crazy shift. You can tie all of our stories together that we just talked about in the last few minutes. I mean, they have these crazy ideas that are pushing so many normal people in the middle that just work 9 to 5, don't really pay attention, to the right because they just don't stand for this ridiculousness, such as protecting illegal aliens, and such as this radical agenda with telling boys can be girls. So we're getting the exact reaction we expect from the Democrats. Florida Senator Carlos Guillermo Smith, who is basically our own version of AOC here in the state of Florida, lost his mind, went super viral about just how this is just an attack on democracy, blah, 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 blah. It's the worst thing ever. But hey, I hope he keeps speaking. I hope he keeps going viral. I'm going to keep posting his videos. It was one of my biggest videos this week. And you know what happens when we share that and expose that stuff? You see more people shift to the right, and then we can get more congressional seats for the GOP because we have more registered Republicans than Democrats for the first time ever in Florida history. And this is a model that I encourage the rest of America to continue to follow. That's why I'm applauding Texas for finally leading on a GOP cause, because when you fight back, good things happen. Republicans can maintain control. We just need to have a backbone for the first time ever. Florida does a really good job in having that backbone.
Yeah. Brennan, Leslie, it's about time Texas gets it together because they have been taken over by rhinos, but they finally did something good. So we will celebrate just that. Thank you for all the great work you're doing in the beautiful state of Florida. We appreciate your time, especially because it's early in the morning for you. So thank you for jumping on with me.
No problem. Always appreciate it, Brianna.
All right, folks, when it comes to organ harvesting, this was a deeply concerning topic. And under the Biden administration, it looks like they were actually promoting it with their policy, the regime's increase that they were looking to push on organ transplant access model. Now, that was a mandated program that just recently took effect in July of 2025. Well, America First Legal is looking to go over it and sift through all these documents. They just recently submitted a FOIA request. And they're looking to review because there's a lot of people who are speculating about this right now and have a lot of allegations about the program that it in fact incentivizes hospitals to booster their organ procedures. Now, obviously, folks, we know that's extremely, extremely dangerous and there should never be any financial gain in organ harvesting. And RFK Jr. talking about it on Newsmax just a few weeks ago, specifically outlining one case that he heard about. In that case, specifically saying that a patient who was having their organs donated woke up from the procedure, was quickly brought to the hospital where they later died. Obviously, that is completely disturbing. America First Legal is looking to dive into that, and we'll bring you an update when they get their FOIA requests back. All right, folks, that does it for me on this beautiful morning. Thanks for jumping on. Of course, give me a follow on X at Brianna Morello. And sign up for my independentnewsroom.com newsletter. It is a free outlet you could sign up for. Get breaking news sent straight to your inbox, independentnewsroom.com. I'll see you here again next Saturday.
What really makes a nutraceutical work? What is a nutraceutical? What is a supplement? Yeah, I mean, let's just talk about Power Plant, for example. So Methyl Drive is something that everyone, whether they're 12 or whether they're 90, they should all take it. Power Plant is a little bit more specific. It's good for both men and women. I would say it has a stronger, more pronounced factor on the younger side, especially people that are into high-intensity exercise. Key ingredient in that is cordyceps, which increases your oxygen carrying capacity, but it also increases ATP, and it also helps you make new mitochondria. So imagine taking something like cordyceps found in Power Plant and then combining it with Methyl Drive. But oh, wait, there's also total male mineral support in Power Plant. We've got zinc, which increases luteinizing hormone, which makes you produce more testosterone. But then to counteract the rise in sex hormone binding globulin, we include boron in it to increase your free testosterone. That's something that normal formulas don't do. We've got the thing that creates free testosterone in your body in Power Plant, according to studies. That's mainline. You can Google it.
And not all CoQ10 is the same, right?
Everyone should take CoQ10. Listen, and if you're going to take CoQ10, you're going to go to some store or some pharmacy, and they're going to try to sell you a bottle with the same amount that's in here for like $50. You get CoQ10 plus 4 other ingredients with this.
It's true. And the same amount.
Same amount. It's incredible. We make this stuff for you and for ourselves. Everyone at the InfoWars office is gobbling these supplements left and right. That's why I made these, is so I could take them.
And then you designed it to go with our ultramethylene blue.
Absolutely. That's the key. Before any like man or woman, young and old, if you're on methylene blue, you got to take it.
Everybody loves the formulas, and I've noticed if I take both together, the energy is totally insane. Each one is very strong on its own.
Methyl Drive is something that every person in the country should take.
So the methylene blue is like the engine and gasoline. These products together is a nitrous oxide.
Exactly. It turbocharges.